I'm so happy to have Emmy Award-winning, I should say multiple, Emmy Award-winning director Joseph Rosendo on the line. He's just an amazing man who has, we followed his journey through the COVID days and his many efforts to get to France. I think a 3 or 4 times postponed trip.
Six times postponed.
But you finally made it, and I can't wait to talk to you. As you all know, Joseph Rosendo's got Travelscope, and it's a wonderful, wonderful show, a website, also a magazine that you can get online. And I think it's 6 Emmys you've gotten, right?
6, yes. We have the show, Joseph Rosendo's Travelscope, on PBS and Amazon and Create TV. Yes, we were at 6 shows.
And 18.
6 Emmys, yes.
18-time Emmy nominee, 42 Telly Awards.
Right.
And I think I read that you were the mayor of Topanga at one time.
Some people say that. My wife seems to think I'm Mr. Topanga, she says. Not very happily, because she's thinks I spend too much time doing it instead of being Mr. Travelscope. So, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and I'm moved and try and make a difference in the world, including my little world here in Topanga. And it's just something that's always kind of driven me. And, there are prices I've paid for that and sacrifices I've made. But that's the way it's got to be when that's the way it is, you know? What are you going to do?
I know. I have a soft spot in my heart for Topanga. I lived there for years, and I miss it. It's one of the few places when I go back to L.A. that I visit just to make sure it's maintained its atmosphere, and it seems to have done pretty well with that.
Yeah, because we work night and day to make it happen, yes. And yeah. We have a core group of people who have, some of them have been here for 30, 40 years, and others are brand new, and they get it. They know what nature is about, and they know what it takes to protect and preserve a natural environment, and they're willing to make the sacrifices and spend the time for free as volunteers, majority everybody, really, in Topanga, to do what needs to be done to keep things, keep Topanga Topanga. As they say, we have a slogan that says, "Don't change Topanga, let Topanga change you."
Right.
And so that's you know, what we think. That's kind of what I'm thinking about when we talk about travel and stuff, you know. Don't change travel, let travel change you, you know.
Yeah.
Don't ask for only luxurious travel and easy travel. Go out there and let travel and the travel experience and the trials and tribulations and the craziness sometimes of travel change you, make you a different person.
And I love that.
Different cultures that we meet and spend time on. It's a mission. Cindy, what can I say?
It is. And you share it also. I do want to mention your wonderful book that I got, which is out as well, which shares your
Thank
philosophy
you.
And your interesting observations over the years. And I know that one took you about a year and a half to get out, I believe, right? I remember talking to you for a while about
it. Well, I started, you know, this is something I've been working on for, well, you know, forever, because it's a collection of stories that I wrote for the Travelscope magazine, where people can get for free by going to travelscope.net. They can download it there, and we have great information, tips, and stories, and all sorts of great stuff. But it was once printed and in a newsletter-like format, but, you know, a 20-page newsletter, big newsletter, or 25, I think we had it finally. And I had a column called Musings, and I wrote stories for it. And it started off just being a travel tip column, and then it became a travel destination column, and then it became my destination column, meaning stories from my life, my past life, and things that were happening right then, encounters I was having, and then, you know, stories about my family and basically what made me Joseph Rosendo, travel writer, and then travel radio host, and then travel television host, director, and writer. So, you know, how did that come about? So that's in the book. It's easy to read, short stories, and most of them are kind of fun, a lot of humor in them, I think. And so we are hoping that people will buy it and enjoy it. And if they don't enjoy it, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it goes.
It's very enjoyable. And over the last year and a half, I know you did make it to up to Monterey, and not Monterey, actually, it was Big Sur. Oh, I'm getting it all mixed up. It's Fort Bragg.
Mendocino.
And Fort Bragg, yes.
Got up there to Mendocino, that Fort Bragg area, the Mendocino County area.
Yep.
And that was one of the first trips during COVID that we managed to squeak out. And we'd done a couple of trips up to California wine country, San Ynez, right here nearby, about three and a half hours north of Los Angeles. And then we were able to double down on that when we went to Costa Rica in April, and that was really a wonderful trip. And then finally, in the end of July, we got to go to France. And you know, all of that is part and parcel of the life we've lived, and it was great to be able to travel again and to feel somewhat normal. So, it's a great story. You know, it's a great, it's our life that we've had for a long time. My wife and I have we celebrated our 13th anniversary when we were in France.
Oh, wonderful!
And so we've basically known each other for years before that. So probably 15, 16 years, and we're getting ready to go and shoot tomorrow to South Padre Island, Texas, and hoping to create something memorable there, even though some people might think, well, gosh, you know, you've been to Bhutan, you've been to Rwanda, you've been to France, you've been to Papua New Guinea, and you're going to South Padre Island. How can that equal? Well, you know, every place has got something to offer because it's got people, and people are what makes the world go round. And if you can connect with them and get them to tell their stories, then it's really can be an extremely interesting and insightful program. So that's we're hoping for the best, and we always go with an open heart and open mind and prepared to meet people and to tell their story. So that's what we're going to do starting tomorrow. We're gone for a week.
You're a wonderful people person. Well, let's go into your France journey, because I've been following you and what you had to go through for it, which is quite amazing, actually, what you had to go with your cancellations. Now, you said six times. Perseverance furthers, and you finally made it. However, you were going to make it as a segment that we were going to televise. But I guess that
didn't work out. No, we were working with the people from Le Boat, who are the people that we've done. We did a show on the Rideau Canal in Canada with, and it was one of our shows of last season, and a very good show. And the Le Boat people, they put you on a boat, you rent a boat from them, and then you pilot it yourself, and they do canals, and they do riverways in Canada now, and all throughout Europe, Belgium, England, Great Britain, even Great Britain, no longer Europe, but France, in Netherlands, and you, particularly France, it's called Le Boat because it's based in France, and they have a lot of different canals you can get on, a mini canal down in the south, which empties out in Béziers down on the French Riviera, and then we took a cruise on the Saône River, and we ended up, and then we took the Canal Central into Burgundy on this trip with them, but we were going to recreate our trip on the Lot River, which is up in near the Dordogne River, up in the north part of the southwest of France, and we were going to do that, but with all the COVID things and restrictions and everything, we weren't able to get it together, so we didn't do that. We ended up going on to Burgundy for our own enjoyment, and very interesting river trip as opposed to the one on the Lot and the one that we had taken in Canada. It was huge, mostly automatic operated locks that we took, And we were able, because it's on the Saone River, which is the river that ends up in the Rhone. And so we did part of that, and then we went into off of the canal and got to visit the small villages of Burgundy. And that was really, Burgundy's wine, Pinot Noir, is one of my favorite wines in the world. And so it was really a pleasure to learn a little bit about that country from the river.
What is different? What's the difference between taking Le Boat versus taking a river cruise?
Oh, lots of difference. Well, the boat, you pilot yourself.
Oh.
That means you get to go through the locks and everything yourself.
Wow.
And you manage the getting it through. And in the Lot River, all the locks are manually operated. So you close them, open them.
Wow.
Close them, open them.
Oh, wow.
Yourself.
Wow.
And so it's quite an experience. And, you know, you navigate. Julie was the captain of the ship, and I was the crew. And she was, you know, so that's basically what that is about. And they have a, you know, a kitchen on board, very nice beds. Some of them can sleep up to six people. They have bathrooms and you know, barbecue grill outside and a refrigerator, everything you need to be on the river and to live on the river. And so that's what that's about. And then a river cruise, of course, is a larger vessel, and so it travels only on certain rivers because it has to be large enough to carry 75, 100 passengers, maybe 150. And luxury experience, very nice cabins, staterooms, balconies, all meals included normally, and even alcohol in some cases. And tours and everything that you can get. So it's like taking a cruise ship across out in the ocean, except in a river. I like it a lot better because it's smaller and it's more intimate. And, you know, the towns you pass along the way and the towns you stop at, you get to have lots of wonderful experiences. You really get to know an area really well. We did, we've done several of those. We did them on the Mekong River. In Cambodia and Vietnam, and also in Myanmar on the Irrawaddy River. We also did them in France on the Rhone and in the Bordeaux region. And we did two that started in Hungary and did the Danube. One started in Hungary, went south to Romania, and the other one started in Hungary and went north to Nuremberg.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just the ones we did with a company called Scenic and Emerald. But there are a number of river cruises. Some of them are based in Europe and smaller and not as luxurious, but more reasonably priced. And then you get the big luxurious cruisers like Scenic and Emerald.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, different kinds of people come on board. Depends on the ship. It depends on the cost. Depends on where they're going. So it's a wonderful way to take your hotel with you and to have a fabulous experience and a very luxury experience. And we're just so thankful and grateful that we've had the opportunity to do that in our lives here.
So, I mean, I have to say it would seem to be a little daunting to be piloting and captaining, running your own ship. Did she have to get a captain's license? Do you get through any testing?
No.
How do you
don't need a captain's license. You can to do this. You know, they give you a briefing, and it really is you. They basically put you in boat and they take off. The briefing is pretty scant, and you know, you get a book, and it has a map. We have books that show you the river and where the shallows are and where it's the safe place
to
go, the channels are. And Julie did the boat, piloted both of them, the one on the Lot River and the one in the Saone and in the Canal Central. And, was an expert captain and much better captain than I was a crew. And just really managed the boat. She has a little history. She from being from Oregon, she had some boating river experience, and so she took to it really well, and so anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. Really? It's like driving. It's you're going very, very slowly. Uh-huh. You're going about 10 miles an hour, maybe. Wow. It's less. And that's why a part of a river that if you were just go to visit those towns by car, you could probably do it in an hour. It takes 5 days because
wow.
you're just rolling, you're just floating down the river, basically, and you stop at different places. She was great when it came to parking and backing up and
wow.
getting it in there. And I was, like I say, I was the crew. I was running. I was putting the water in the, adding water and, you know, making sure we were plugged in so we had electricity. And in some places you stop, even though just on the side of the river, and you don't worry about, you know, having those facilities. They tell you where you can go, what's safe, but you get to visit these towns. We had bikes on board so we could bike into
wow.
town, and we had, you know, Michelin star restaurant dinners dressed from our bikes, you know, and so here we came biking up in and sat down and had these great dinners in France. So, yeah, it's a wonderful experience. I recommend it to people. And you can take friends, so that's what's nice. You can take uh-huh. some of them, you can take up to 6 people.
Wow.
So when you have help on board, it was Julie and I,
uh-huh.
where Julie was piloting a boat that takes up to 6 people. It was quite large.
Uh-huh.
And just the two of us on board, it was a feat. The one we had on the Lot River was smaller. It only set 4 people on board, so even though there were 2 of us, it was more manageable. But she was piloting this huge boat down the river. I mean, it was great.
How big? How long are they?
Oh, good question. I don't think I have any information right here with me.
Football
but,
field
very,
about a football
length,
field
but,
or.
You know,
or, you know, maybe around a football field or longer or shorter.
No, my gosh. No, that's too long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let me see. While we're talking here, I'll see if I can.
I was thinking like a barge. I was thinking you running this barge down the river. And
No. Barge. They do have barge. You're right, though. That is another experience that people can have. And it's been famous for years, in fact, the barge experiences. Those were famous way back in the old days. You know, people would go on barges, and maybe you just go for an afternoon, or maybe you go for a few days. But that one, you know, would include a captain, and you weren't really piloting your own. You weren't really piloting your own boat. You had somebody who was doing it for you. So
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the Canal Midi, which is quite beautiful, and we decided that this year would have been a good year to have done the Canal Midi because of COVID, there wasn't as many people out
right.
doing the boating this year. It was like when we were on the Lot or where we were, on the river, on the different rivers. I mean, it was a lot less people than normally, I think.
Uh-huh.
It would be much more crowded in the summer when we were there if you were if you were going in a regular year. But this year people were, you know, staying at home, and so you weren't able to experience it was better because you didn't have so many people. I'm trying to find some information on the boat here.
Yeah.
But
I wonder, do you drop an anchor when you go off to this? Can you just pull along the side of a river?
In some places they do allow you to do that, actually. In some places, they do allow you to just not anchor so much as tie off. They have
uh-huh.
tie-offs.
Uh-huh.
And so you can tie off your boat and on the side of the canal.
Uh-huh.
But there are particular places. They don't let you do it, you know, everywhere. They just, I have no idea. Let me give people a number, though. 1-800-734-5491. 1-800-734-5491. And if they go to leboat.com, they can look at the different itineraries mm-hmm. and also find out the boat. The boats are about 25 feet.
Oh,
they're not very big.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's manageable. I was I was picturing Julie in a captain's hat with this barge of this river going down the rivers in this barge.
Yeah,
yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, she had a captain's hat.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she was, you know, she was here. Oh, I think I maybe finally found the spot where the boats are, and I can
did you have any scary moments?
Well, you know, when you're in the locks and the boat, the canal we're on, the Saone River is big. It's for barges like you're talking about and places like that. So, you know, so it's for you know, so you can get in these big locks with your little boat and you can find out and you can, it can be scary because, you know, and one of the techniques is that you, you have your rope and you're tying it onto the side of the lock. And as the lock is filling or the lock is draining, you're moving your rope so that you put it on the next hook going down. Mm. And if you lose your hold on to the side of the lock, you're floating out in the middle of the lock. And you know, if there are other boats there, it can get to be it can be a problem. So. So we had a couple of scary moments there. I lost control of the rope, and it turned out that you know, so it looked like I was kind of panicked a bit, but it turned out all right. It was okay.
So now, of course, we have to imagine this amazing adventure in the middle of COVID still, and you had waited till you could go in. Of course, things are still. You don't know. So you were flying in. What did you fly? You flew from Los Angeles to where?
We flew from Los Angeles. So we were going to the south of France, the southwest France. So we flew from Los Angeles to Paris and then from Paris down to Toulouse. And we started our trip out of Toulouse and we went into St. Anton Noble-Val for the first part of the trip. And then we went up to Puy-l'Évêque and the Lot region for the second part of the trip. Then we visited friends in Angoulême or over near Bordeaux and spent some time with them. And then we went down to Saint-Jean-de-Luz, which is right next to Biarritz, and met some friends there. And then we went into the Pyrenees to do some hiking and stuff and had a great time there. And then ended up in Collioure. On the French Riviera and Cadiz on the Mediterranean in Spain. So that was the complete itinerary that we took.
It's a fabulous itinerary. And did you, when you landed, what were the protocols you had to do after you got off the plane?
Oh, when you land, well, first of all, leaving here, you had to make a statement, attest to the fact that you were free of COVID and hadn't seen anybody and all this kind of stuff. And you had to have be vaccinated. We were vaccinated, and so we got a. And then when we were in France, Julie went to a pharmacy, and we got a pass sanitaire, which was like a passport that we could use to go to restaurants and bars and things like that.
Is it online? Is it an actual hard copy, or is it like a QR code?
We had a piece of paper, but you can get it. You can do it online and then save it to your phone. And then it's that code. Uh-huh. You can use that code to show people if you went to a restaurant or something who you are and what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And they'll let you in if you have the pass sanitaire.
She got it by showing her vaccination card and then they issued it to her?
Yeah, she showed her vaccination card and proved that she had the vaccine. And then they gave her the pass sanitaire for
France. Good to know.
And then in Spain, they took that in Spain. Spain was a little looser, as you would expect. And so they certainly took the pass sanitaire from France.
Uh-huh.
But the French were very specific. You had to have it. You wouldn't get into bars and restaurants and clubs. And you wouldn't get into, anywhere you wanted to go. You needed that pass sanitaire. So we had that.
Even shopping? Did you have to show it to go shopping?
Yeah, but to get into a mall, we had to show it before as we were approaching the mall. Yeah, go into a store. You need to show it. They wouldn't let you in.
Oh, good.
So the French were really very picky about what they were doing. And so it was really great. It was great. I mean, it was it was, we felt very safe. We felt like, you know, we were being taken care of.
Yeah.
That the French, you know, the French had done a good job of protecting people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was great. So that's just, you know, and the situation changes every day. So
yeah.
People traveling to Europe or anywhere need to make sure that they find out what are the requirements and the restrictions right now.
So when you go there, also when you were walking around and you pulled the boat into a harbor and tied it up, then you wore masks when you're walking in the street or no masks?
No, yeah.
You wore masks.
You know, if you were walking with, I mean, you were supposed to wear masks if you're in certain areas, like if you're in a pedestrian area, you would wear a mask and even outside. But once you sat down, you could take the mask off.
Yeah.
And you show them the pass sanitaire. And you'd have a mask on to wander around and to, you basically need a mask for everything. And some people were very particular about it and others not as much. But if you're walking around and you were in the open, they really didn't bother you that much.
Yeah.
But you know, we saw a concert that was outside and there were two police officers there.
Wow.
Everybody walked through the concert, had to have their mask on.
Oh.
And had to pass sanitaire to even come to the event. So the French were really protecting themselves. They did a good job. And now I understand the United States has opened up its restrictions for Europeans and other people coming into the United States. So we dropped the restrictions against them because that was kind of a sticking point.
Yes, it was.
For the European Union.
They still have to be vaccinated and to have a negative test.
Yes, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm, so, you know, like when we came back, we had to get a test. We got one in Spain, a negative test, so that we could get back into the United States. So everybody needs to do that to come back to the United States.
So you went to some places that were kind of off the beaten path, as you love to do. Were you seeing any other tourists, or were you pretty much feeling just it was like all French Parisians there in the area where you were in France?
Lots of tourists.
Really?
Lots of tourists.
Really?
Lots of tourists. I mean, French tourists.
Yeah.
Not very many Americans. We didn't see very many Americans. There wasn't very many Americans. We maybe saw one couple, I think, in the whole trip, or maybe two.
Wow.
But a lot of Belgium, a lot of Europeans traveling, and that was the majority of the trip was that kind of thing.
So when you get through with the boat part, did you rent a car to get to the other, check a train to get to the...
No, we had a car the whole time. We rented a car at Toulouse and had it for us for the whole 45 days that we were out. And while we were obviously on the boat, the car sat in the parking lot back at the La Boat headquarters, or the port that we got the boat in. We left the car there, but we had a rental car the whole time we were there, and went traveling all. We traveled quite a bit, so we had a lot of.
Are the rental cars still? I know, of course, prices here have gone insane, but rental cars in Europe are always kind of pricey. Maybe not so much compared to America now, but was it rather expensive to do a rental car for that long?
Well, I had booked the rental car months and months and months earlier.
Uh-huh.
When COVID was in, because, you know, it was six times we tried to get to France, so we had reservations like months and months in advance. And so for the car, reservation stayed through all those cancellations.
Uh-huh.
I just kept the reservation.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we kept changing the dates and that kind of thing. And so we were able to get a fairly decent price. But yes, you're right, the price of auto rentals in Europe were ridiculous, like $4,000.
What?
It would have been for the period of time. Yep,
whoa.
$4,000.
Whoa.
For the period of time that we had it.
Ah.
We were fortunate enough to get it much less than that, probably.
Wow.
Because I booked it so far in advance.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's getting better. You know, it has to do with the availability of the cars and everything else. And, you know, it's just... But it's still the best way to see Europe is to have a car and travel
and it's more
stop where you want.
Did you do stick shift? I mean, I know it's more expensive.
It was stick shift.
Yeah.
It was a stick shift.
That's usually cheaper.
They have automatics and stuff, too.
But automatics cost more.
We had a stick shift.
Oh, that's good. Huh? So automatics usually cost more. And there's some restrictions. I know in Ireland, in some places, they won't let you rent a car if you're over 75, I think, 74 or 70. But there's some restrictions.
Right, right. That is a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem. You're exactly right. That's a new...
Because of insurance.
New limitation.
Yeah, because
for
of...
For me, traveling. I just turned 75 yesterday.
Congratulations! And, yes, happy birthday! Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know.
Be
some, there would be some limitations for me driving. So, yeah. So, I mean, some. Not every country and not every company.
Yeah.
But some of them do, and or they charge you more, and so it's more expensive if you're older, that's for sure.
So, did you have a good birthday?
Yeah, I had a very nice birthday. My wife, Julie, took me and a couple of friends out to a place here in Topanga, the end of the 7th Ray.
I love it.
A very nice lunch.
It's so good there.
You know, some nice gifts and cards and that kind of thing. So, yes, I had a very nice birthday.
The end of the 7th Ray was there when I lived there back in the 60s.
Sure, it's been there for 40-something years. So
yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I think it may have been the 70s. It was the 70s. But, I mean, no, it's historic. It's right set on the river there, and it's wonderful. It's quite amazing. And I'm glad to see it survived all this time. That's nice.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah, and I heard that Will Geer's place has been doing their Shakespeare shows there also.
They're the same thing, 45 years, something like that. The Theatricum Botanicum in Topanga continues to do. And, you know, they've been through COVID, so they haven't been able to do their seasons. But they're just about to start. This is the first year that they're going to have a season of shows. And they have been having shows. So it's pretty good, pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like a fabulous trip that you did in your itinerary. And I saw some pictures of you in the Pyrenees. And I've always thought of the Pyrenees and the Dolomites kind of in the southern part of France. But if I read correctly, you weren't necessarily in those parts. You did
the Pyrenees, we were in Spain.
Yeah.
And so, yes, the Pyrenees run across the boundary between Spain and France. And we were in Spain, actually, when we did our hiking trips, and it was quite beautiful, wonderful experiences.
Well, you did quite a long trek. I think you did. I saw you did one that was impressive.
Yeah, we did one trip. I think it was some ridiculous 11 miles or 8 miles or 10 miles. I can't remember exactly, but we were pretty tired at the end of it.
And on top of that, it's pretty high altitude, which makes it harder on a walk.
It was a little bit of an altitude, maybe 5,000 feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were surrounded by mountains. It was quite beautiful. And it was great. It was a wonderful experience for us to be having.
Well, you know, you deserve this. This was a long one. Now, did you actually stay in any home? Oh, you said you visited friends, but did you actually rent a home and stay?
We did basically Airbnb. And, so you are staying in people's homes. We'll be featuring some of them in our Travelscope magazine, where people can get, like I said earlier, travelscope.net. They can download that. And we'll be talking about the experiences that we had in Europe in the upcoming issues of the magazine. So people can just keep a watch on that, and they'll get some good tips on things to do, places to go. And, you know, we had some, like I say, we stayed at some Airbnbs and we had some fabulous meals and took notes for all those things. So people will be able to get that information by going to the magazine, Travelscope. And it'll be a couple of issues from now, probably, or one, the next one anyway. This issue that's coming out now features Costa Rica. And the Costa Rica trip, you know how it is with publications, you're always a little bit behind. And so, so our April trip to the volcano and to the beaches and up into the mountains and the cloud forest, that's all in this issue of the Travelscope magazine. And it should be coming out soon. We're in the final stages of proofing and getting that together. And, in fact, as soon as I get off the phone with you, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'll be proofing the final version of the magazine so that it can go out while we're in Texas shooting a show.
And since it was not your typical shooting trip, which includes a crew and work and a lot of organization and permits, et cetera, a lot of times, Did you feel more like this was a vacation? It was your honeymoon?
Very much like that. Very much. It was very much a vacation and a relief from being cooped up for, at that time, over a year. And so, it was a relief from that. It was a great trip. It was a fabulous trip. I'll always remember that Costa Rica trip for so many reasons.
But I meant your French trip.
That was exactly how we thought of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had other things we were doing, but we were always scouting and, you know, working with the Lebeau people in the hopes and expectation that we'll actually be doing some shooting in France on some of their canals and some of their rivers. But that'll be up in the air, and we'll see what happens with that. Like everything on Travelscope, it just comes to pass.
Yeah.
As we work hard to, Julie is always looking for opportunities and for destinations for us to be filming. And so she has been talking to the Lebeau people about a couple of their trips. They're doing a new canal experience in Canada. And so we might be working with them to highlight that trip. And also, they're going to be doing there's always the return to the lot, which is one of our, we love that lot experience, and that could be something that we'll be doing as well, highlighting it and actually shooting it. And it's a wonderful, it's what I would recommend that trip for people who want a first time drive your own boat experience.
I am so inspired by this wonderful, wonderful trip you did. And it's just wonderful to hear. I'm so glad you had a good birthday and you were able to do this safely. There's a lot of things you have to navigate besides a boat on a trip these days. There's so many things that you have to be flexible with. And I guess one of the key, would you say the key thing is patience? What would you recommend for people venturing out there for the first time?
Well, people need to be informed. You need to do the background work and find out what the restrictions are and what you need, certain kinds of insurance. All of that, you need to have that to meet requirements and to protect yourself. If you were to get sick, you got stuck in Europe for 2 weeks in a quarantine, you need to have that. So you need to find out what the country you're going to, what the restrictions are, and, you don't want to get yourself over there and find out you have to be quarantined in a hotel for 2 weeks. So, you need to find out ahead of time exactly what those restrictions are so that when you travel at this crazy time, you are prepared for whatever comes your way.
And like you said, travel insurance, and I guess to check to see whether there's refundable fees in case things do come up where you can't.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of seeing if you're going to get your money back, if you have to cancel or if they cancel on you, what are the requirements. Things have tightened up considerably. They're pretty much back to normal as far as what the airlines is giving people. So don't expect any breaks from the airlines or from other hotels, rental cars, all the whole lot. Everybody's, feels that they're out of the COVID, having to give you a break or make it easy for you to cancel and all that stuff. They're just people. When you get your hotels, there are certain companies you can book from which allow you to cancel at the last minute or just before you leave in case something does happen. So just be very careful about your cancellation policies. For everything mm-hmm. you purchase for travel.
Yeah, absolutely. Travelscope.net, and it's such a pleasure talking to you. I just love your adventures and your attitude about traveling. I think we should close the show here with you doing your wonderful quote, which you close your Travelscope shows with.
Well, this is Joseph Rosendo reminding you of the words of Mark Twain. Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Happy traveling.
Aloha.
Aloha. Bye.
Bye.